Join us for Girls Try Hockey Free on February 9th at Sharks Eye San Jose, where girls ages 4 through 9 can learn the basics of hockey in a fun, safe environment with our trained coaching staff, no experience necessary. With skates and equipment provided, this exciting event offers a perfect introduction to the sport while building confidence and fostering a love for hockey. For more information, email groupsales@sjsharks.com or visit sjsharks.com/girlstryhockey.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Looks to the fence, has a chance. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. Star! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Minute and a half remaining in the game. It's off the stick of Eklund, but he gains the zone, sends it in deep behind the goal line. Predators will try to clear, and they send it toward the empty net. Score! That's Philip Forsberg from over 150 feet away. He never misses, puts it into the empty net. And an absolutely spectacular collapse by the Sharks sees Nashville score into the ENG, 7-5 Predators.
Yeah, I mean, look, it sucks. The feeling's not going to be good in the ride home. It's frustrating. We're all extremely frustrated. We have to learn and get better. And you know, what is there to do? The sun's going to come up tomorrow. It's going to be January, whatever, 23rd or 22nd. We prepare our bodies to play a hockey game on Thursday against the same team.
True to form, the sun did come up this morning. I can confirm Ryan Warsawski's comments about the San Jose Sharks needing to move on from this game and get ready to play Nashville again on Thursday were correct. However, the San Jose Sharks just suffered arguably their worst defeat of the season. The only one I think that is in that category is the first time that they lost to Winnipeg. That game, the term embarrassed was used by head coach Ryan Warsawski after the game. This one wasn't embarrassing in the same sense because there were moments during this game where the Sharks played some good hockey. The thing about this game is that it was demoralizing, seemingly hammering home the idea that they are not ready to turn that corner, that they are not ready to be the team that they want to be, that they are still a work in progress and that they are a ways off. And you can talk about the trade of Mackenzie Blackwood and the way the team has played since then, where they've been relatively demoralized from that trade. And you can talk about injuries and illness. These are all things that every team goes through in an NHL season. And I'm not going to say that none of these things are or are not factors in what has happened to the Sharks this year. But I will say that we have heard time and time again that the Sharks don't know how to close out games. And that is 100% valid. No matter what factors were going on with the Sharks of illness and injury and timeline and surrounding narratives, the Sharks don't know how to close out games. That cannot be denied. That cannot be argued against. There is no counterpoint that anybody in that dressing room can try and say. You just have to accept that reality. They can't do it. They might be able to figure it out between now and the end of the season, but for the time being, they simply do not know how to do it. They had a 5-1 lead in this game. 5-1. And then it all crumbled. They stopped skating. They chased the puck. There was some less than stellar net minding at times, although I'm not going to blame it all on a Georgiev in any way, shape, or form. But the Sharks, there's no way you should score 5 goals and lose. There's no way you should have a 4-goal, 5-1 lead and lose. There's no way that you should once again take a 5-3 lead into a third period and lose a game. And this Sharks team this year is 8-6-2 when taking a lead into the third period. That is the true stat that shows you how bad they are with managing a lead and their inability to close out games. Yes, there are young, exciting talents on this team. Macklin Celebrini had another goal last night. He was brilliant. He had a 2-point game. He had a great game offensively. Will Smith had another point. He keeps on putting up points. He keeps on showing his growth from game in to game out. Mikael Granlund had a phenomenal game. Luke Cunnan scored another goal. The Sharks offense was going brilliantly. You know, this was everything the Sharks needed to have happen. Jake Walman, he is their lead scoring defenseman. He had a goal in this game. He was having some great plays out there. and then it entirely got away from the team. They just stopped playing. The Sharks seem to think that when they have a lead, that the work is done. And when they were up 5-1, it seemed like they were all ready to coast their way back to San Jose to have a nice bookend to the trip, to have a win at the start in Detroit, lost three, and then win in Nashville and take that home. Well, you got to play the full 60 minutes. You have to play to the finish. And Nashville, who is not having the season that anyone expected, turned things around in this game and got momentum going. And the Sharks, while they are very good at riding momentum, they had a great start to this game. They had Macklin Celebrini giving them an early lead just over a minute into the game. Then they had two goals 14 seconds apart to make it 3-0. And then after Tommy Novak had a goal to make it 3-1, the Sharks countered with their own goal with about 30 seconds left in the first period to make it a 4-1 lead. That game, for all intents and purposes, should have been over. If the Sharks are down 4-1 in the first period, there is a very, very low-level chance of them being able to come back. Yes, they've had some nice comebacks against Utah in recent memory. Last year against Detroit, I believe they were down 4-0. It's not that it's impossible. It's just that if you're a good team in the NHL, it doesn't happen. And that's where the Sharks are at this point. They are still not a good team. And while they are not as bad as they were a year ago, they're still definitely learning. They are still trying to figure things out. Right now, they are on pace for about 23 wins. And while that is not a great season, it's an improvement from last year. And I think that's all that anybody really wanted to see, an improvement from last year. You wanted to see them take steps in the right direction. The Sharks are taking steps in the right direction. But just because you're taking steps in the right direction doesn't mean you're at the end of that destination. The Sharks are still very much a work in progress. They are still very much capable of blowing, I would say, nearly any lead. And I'm not sure if they didn't, you know, if they'd had a 6-1 lead last night, it still wouldn't have been enough. It still wouldn't have been enough. Now, granted, you might not have had an empty net situation. It could have been 6-6, but they gave up 7 goals last night. They gave up 6 after they had a 5-1 lead. It is a terrible loss, and it is one that should sting. You know, I asked Ryan Warsawski earlier this year, when they'd had some more of these late third period losses, I said, did this team need to feel the sting to learn these lessons? And he said, yes. And I would say that at this point, we are clearly learning that they are still themselves learning those lessons. And they got to figure it out at some point. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but they need to learn how to close out games. That's going to be their number one task to turn the corner to becoming a consistent competitive team in the NHL. Right now, the Sharks are a fun team. The Sharks are an exciting team. The Sharks are a team laden with young talent that everyone seems to be happy about and loves to tune into. Watching Macklin, Will, Askarov, Zetterlund, you get to see Eklund, Granlund, again, continuing to heat back up and show how good of a player he can be. Everyone is excited about the Sharks. But I think if that loss served any purpose, it was to show Mike Greer that any trade except for your young stars is on the table. That means Nico Sturm, Luke Cunning, Cody Ceci, Mikhail Granlund, Jan Ruda, Mario Ferraro. These veterans that other teams are interested in, they are going to be on the table. Other teams are going to be looking at them and saying, you know what? We need to figure out how we're going to be a better team for the future, because this group right here and now, there isn't something quote-unquote good going. There are good vibes because the team has good guys on it. But if it was just good guys that made you win, that's not how it works in the NHL. You need to have good players. You need to have more than good vibes. You need to have successful, winning players. And that's not what the Sharks have right now. And I'm not saying that Mike Greer should just pull the plug and say, oh, well, nuts to these guys, this season's over. No, but I think he's probably seen, and I don't think I'm breaking any news to him, but he's saying, yeah, I can't bring back these players. I can't bring back these same group of guys. I have to continue to build for the future. And if he can build for the future, then that's where the success is going to be, because it's not going to happen in the here and now. All right, enough of my thoughts. Let's look back at this game as it went down. It started off with a great goal from Macklin Celebrini.
But this one hit the boards back behind the goaltender, and it was knocked free. Sharks pick back up. Eklund, nice battle win, far side. Headman feed. Here comes Macklin Celebrini moving in, shooting it. Score! A headman pass gets to Macklin Celebrini, and Macklin in a mini 2-on-1 beats Saros on the first opportunity on net. 1:07 into the first, and it's 1-0 San Jose.
And this is the first time that Saros has seen that shot from Macklin Celebrini, especially his little look-off that he can do. Yeah, that's a rough opportunity for any goalie and a very, oh, this kid is up to the hype. That is a great shot by Macklin Celebrini and also just a great start for San Jose. To get your young goal scorer to get you on the board early in a game, that is a huge, huge boost for San Jose. And truth be told, it was exactly the type of start that they needed, especially considering how they have had some poor starts as of late and coming off of that loss against Boston. To get out to an early lead really made you feel like there were good things ahead for San Jose. And for a part of this game, there were good things ahead for San Jose. But even though they got a little bit, you know, of a pushback from Nashville, they kept on having answers. And San Jose was playing well in that first period. Luke Cunnan made it a 2-0 lead for San Jose.
Will Smith able to bank it behind the net, but McCarron, good job, got back there, couldn't clear it out. That should have been a hand pass, I thought, but here comes a shot and a glove save made. Where's the puck? It's underneath Saros.
That went in.
That's in the net. The San Jose Sharks have just scored on a long play. It looked like Saros got it with his glove, but then it trickled into the net. And San Jose suddenly is a 2-0 lead. But the question is, was that puck gloved down at the blue line? And was it a hand pass?
The goal would stand for San Jose, and they were flying high. Luke Cunnan scoring yet another goal and really just continuing to have his good offensive season. He now has 11 goals in 50 games this year. He had 11 in 77 games this year. So he's on pace to have one of his most productive seasons ever. And then the Sharks were not done at this point, as it was just about 14 seconds later that the Sharks put one in the back of the net.
Here's Will Smith now, offensive zone, stopping it, throwing it over, score! Mikael Granlund and a perfect one-timer from Will Smith. Bang, bang, bang! Sharks 3, Predators nothing.
Thanks to the great Darren Stevens, just for some historical perspective, that was the Sharks' fastest two goals since December 9th, 2022. At Anaheim when Erik Karlsson and Nico Sturm scored 8 seconds apart, 7:53 of the second and 8:01 of the second, respectively. And that was the Sharks' first four-goal period, first period, I should say, since January 17th, 2022 against LA. If you remember, that was the game in which Timo Meier gave the Sharks a five-goal game. But not even 30 seconds later, the Predators would show their first evidence of having some pushback in this game to where they're going to get themselves on the board, because right now it was trending towards a blowout. This was really, really staggering to see, because San Jose just, you don't usually see offensive outputs like that. And so suddenly you're thinking, all right, what's San Jose going to do? Can they add on? Well, before they could add on, it was 3-1. But San Jose showed that this would be their first period, as with 30 seconds remaining, Jake Walman reestablished the Sharks' three-goal lead.
35 seconds to go in the first period. Justin Barron on D. Check by Celebrini. It's going to be a breakaway moving in. Wenberg in front. And a backhand shot goes in. Well, what a goal. That was scored by Jake Walman in front on a beautiful play. It was poke free. And Wenberg unselfishly threw it over to Walman, who backhands it up top. And it's 4-1 San Jose Sharks in the final minute of this first period.
This was a perfect start for San Jose. You're up 4-1 at the end of the first period. The only thing that I didn't like was that San Jose was not creating many shots on goal. That was my only qualm out of what we had seen, just because I have seen far too many times that that shot counter doesn't get high enough for San Jose. But that was not really at the front of my mind why I was thinking, oh, San Jose is going to lose. I did not think San Jose was going to lose at this point. I thought that San Jose was in a very good position and had a very high chance of winning this game. I did not think it was automatic, just because I know what San Jose has been this year, which is consistently not a very good team. But you know what? At that point, I'm thinking, hey, San Jose is trying to make a push to take care of everything before this game has come to, or before this first period has come to a close. Now what they got to do is come out early in the second period and extend this lead. Blow out Nashville. Kill this game.
Off the draw, Celebrini goes down low. Eklund in front. Shot, score! Mikael Granlund, tic-tac-toe, Celebrini getting it down low, and Eklund feeds it in front, and it's Granlund who gets his second goal of the game. And you know what? That is Mikael Granlund's 100th point in a San Jose Sharks uniform, as the Sharks score on the power play and take a 5-1 lead.
And I couldn't believe it at that point, because it was like, hey, they're doing what I thought they should do. I know, brilliant bit of coaching by me, but it's taking the lead at that point to try and find the really, you know, the kill shot, for lack of a better expression. I thought at that point 5-1 was enough for San Jose. I was horribly mistaken, but you saw some really great evidence of San Jose's offense coming together in this instance. You saw some great passing. You saw some great plays. You saw some dynamic, just overall vision. A lot of just really high skill game out there from San Jose. And those are the types of plays that good teams make, to where you are able to do that tic-tac-toe passing, where you are able to connect the dots. You move the puck quickly. You don't give the defense a chance to react. You don't give the goalie a time to get set. You have an ordained idea of what you're going to do out there on the ice. The Sharks did that extremely well at different points of this game, and it was unfortunately not evidence of what was going to come next. Again, at this point, I didn't like the shot counter because San Jose was still not getting tons and tons of shots on net, but you know, much in the same way that they scored 6 goals against Detroit, they didn't have a lot of shots, or at least not, you know, a ton of shots in that game. And you're thinking to yourself, well, the shots they're putting are going in. Clearly, they're having a high success rate. That's more important than the shot counter, which is relatively true. But, you know, it just wasn't indicative of the type of control of the game that I was hoping to see. And unfortunately, the momentum from this point on would swing entirely in favor of Nashville. The game totally got away from San Jose. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what happened. I don't think everybody knows exactly what happened. But San Jose completely lost control of this game. They thought the job was done. They thought that they were going to be able to just cruise to a finish. Nashville, however, had other plans. The comeback for Nashville started at 12:40 of the second period, which means San Jose, halfway through this game, had a 4-goal lead. Svechkov, on a power play, makes it a 5-2 game.
And the Predators throwing it around on the power play with 45 to go on this Will Smith penalty into the slot. They score! High, low, high, and there's Svechkov to snap one up top. Georgiev reached for it, but couldn't get it. And that's exactly what we were just talking about. Fyodor Svechkov picking up the goal, and that makes it a 5-2 game. Sharks have the 3-goal lead, but that's a big power play goal for Nashville.
And at that point, you're thinking, all right, that's one goal. They've still got a long way to go. San Jose has a lot of life and pride on the line. They're trying to play for one more win on this road trip. 2-3 would have sounded much, much better than 1-4 for the overall 5-game record. But Nashville kept on pushing. And even after the 5-2, I wasn't too worried. But when it's 5-3, suddenly I think everybody's anxiety that was invested in the game for San Jose skyrocketed upwards.
5-2, Sharks on top. Here come the Predators moving in. Could be trouble. They score! Sharks got caught in an odd man situation down low, and Justin Barron, the defenseman who jumped in, got it to the right circle, and Georgiev tried to twist his body into a pretzel or turn himself into an octopus with 8 arms, and he couldn't be successful in either one of those, and Barron makes it a 2-goal game, and all you can say is, uh-oh.
Well said, Mr. Hall of Famer Dan Ruzanowski. Uh-oh is correct. 5-3. Suddenly, just 53 seconds after it was 5-2, the Sharks would keep that scoreline going into the third period. But then early in the period, who else but Jonathan Marchessault would give Nashville a 5-4 deficit, and suddenly San Jose was tightening up.
The Preds move in. Here's Stamkos throwing it toward the net. They score! Marchessault gets it in front as the Predators just tossed it toward the goal. The Sharks left a little too much space. And for a veteran like Jonathan Marchessault, that is an invitation for disaster. 28 seconds into the third period, all of a sudden, it's the Sharks 5 and the Predators 4.
And I think the most disheartening part of that is that it was so early in the third period, because it showed you that San Jose, in the midst of that break, the second intermission, were not able to collect themselves and say, we're going to put a stop to this. They were not able to wrest momentum back on their own end. San Jose this year, as I've said time and time again, they are very good at riding momentum. They are not good at really creating it out of nothing. Sometimes they'll get a good goal and then they can kind of follow that downhill. But when things are going against them, they're not good at putting up a wall. They're not good at stopping and then tilting the ice in the opposite direction. It has happened at times, but it's not something that you can consistently count on. And that's the difference. Good teams, when they get, you know, give up 2-3 goals, they're able to put the brakes on and say, hold up, we need to stop and figure out what's going on. We need to stop and figure out what we're going to do to respond to this moment. And they do. They come back with a goal of their own. They come back with some really strong defense. They come back with some physical play. There was none of that from San Jose last night. They simply got broken down. They were getting pushed around. They did not have the puck at all. yes, they were, you know, chasing the puck all over the place, but really you saw that they were just completely out of sorts and they didn't have any answers. Like, that was the thing that I noticed the most. They did not have any answers. They were getting pushed around, and then sooner than later, it was suddenly a 5-5 game. Nashville had tied it up and come all the way back.
50 seconds to go in Eklund's penalty, and here come the Predators again. Marchessault leads the way in with Stamkos. Stamkos throws on the left side for O'Reilly, knocked away by Ferraro. Cunnan gets it along the boards, fights for it, backhands it. Oh, not out of the zone. This should be a hand pass. It's not. It's picked back up by Josi, and he throws it off to the left wing boards. Predators keep threatening. Forsberg on the point, dishes off. Josi, slap shot, score! Power play goal for Roman Josi, the captain of his team. The Predators have fought back from a 5-1 deficit. They tie the game 5-5 at 5:33 of this third period.
What bothers me, though, is that at this point, San Jose has not yet lost the game. They are still in a tie game early in the third period. They could potentially at this point come back and play better hockey and get their feet moving, but I mean, at this point, you could just tell their energy reserves were tapped. They did not have the pushback that they needed. They did not have any type of a game that you were hoping for from here on out. They just looked dead in the water. You can tell the weight of the season is upon their shoulders. You can tell that they just don't have it in them. And that's a problem. You need San Jose at this point to be better. You need San Jose to have more, but they're just not there yet. And while we know this is a bad team, you can still be frustrated by them blowing a 5-1 lead. You know, there's a lot of emotions to take away at this point, but at this point, the Sharks still have a chance. This is anyone's game at this point. That should be the message, and it probably was, but unfortunately, Nashville didn't get that message. They were clearly intent on making it their game.
Marchessault, lead pass, on the left for Stamkos. He's got a man in front of the net. There's the pass in the direction of Blankenberg, but it was deflected by a Sharks defender. Held in by Novak. He stick handles across the ice. Little drop pass. Moving in. Here's Blankenberg holding it, shooting it. Score! Blankenberg put that right through the legs of Georgiev. I'm not sure if that was poked at behind, but Blankenberg fired that shot from a right circle and kept it low, and it snuck through, and the Predators lead 6-5 in an absolutely mystifying turn of events here in Nashville.
I mean, on the one hand, it's not that mystifying because San Jose is just simply a team that is still a low talent level team that's very exciting to watch, and Nashville is a team that should be much, much better than what they are in terms of their record, and I'm sure, like we talked about with Boston, there is a level of desperation in the room that simply isn't there for San Jose. San Jose had zero expectations entering this year other than being better than the 19-win team they were a year ago. As for the Nashville Predators, they had a great second half to last year. They added some huge talents in the offseason, a Stamkos and a Marchessault, and they were supposed to be one of the top contenders in the West. Instead, they only find themselves, you know, fewer than 10 points ahead of where San Jose is at this point of the season. So you compare and contrast the level of talent on these two teams. You look at where they are in their relative timelines and narratives as opposed to what they are and what they were supposed to be. In this game, Nashville was playing much more in line with the expectation, whereas San Jose was playing much more in line with their reality. There's still a chance for San Jose, however, but Nashville would bury the empty netter.
Minute and a half remaining in the game. It's off the stick of Eklund, but he gains the zone, sends it in deep behind the goal line. Predators will try to clear, and they send it toward the empty net. Score! That's Philip Forsberg from over 150 feet away. He never misses, puts it into the empty net, and an absolutely spectacular collapse by the Sharks sees Nashville score into the ENG, 7-5 Predators.
Worst loss of the season. I'm still going with that Winnipeg game earlier because they just did not look at all a well-formed team. In this game, for half of it, they looked pretty good, and they were up 5-1. But then came the pain. Then came San Jose just absolutely collapsing under the weight of the pressure of Nashville and really learning why it's called Smashville. Yes, you love that Mikael Granlund's got two goals. You love Macklin Celebrini getting a goal. You love Will Smith getting a point out of this one. But the San Jose Sharks simply did not have it when they needed it. And that's going to be one of those lessons that they hopefully take away from these games. Lessons have to be learned. Lessons often come with pain in professional sports. I can think back to the Warriors in their early days before they were good. They had some painful losses, even when Klay Thompson and Steph Curry were exciting. You know, that's just how it goes. You have to get past these parts. You have to get through these parts. Not every team gets through these parts. That is where the trouble comes in. You know, we can talk about some of the teams that are in long-term rebuilds in the NHL, like the Red Wings, who still have a lot to prove the rest of this year, like, you know, Ottawa, who still have a lot to prove, like Buffalo. You know, you go down the list. Then you look at teams like the 76ers, who had so many top picks, but were never able to convert it into that dynastic and championship-contending style team. You look at, you know, plenty of teams, the Bills, you know, in the NFL, they're still trying to write their narrative of being able to take that next step. Or you look at the A's under Billy Beane. They were always great in the regular season, and then they got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, only advancing once in an on-COVID year. That is the trouble with being a good team in sports. You have to be able to take that next step. Now, San Jose, they're a long, long way from that. They haven't even begun to show their true promise like a Bills team, like an A's team, like a 76ers team who, you know, got to the playoffs. But San Jose is a long, long ways off. They seem to have some good pieces, but they've got a lot to figure out as they continue their journey on this rebuild.
There's a lot to learn. Got to keep playing. Puck play got soft, got cute, and the veteran team paid for it.
Yeah, I was not sure what sort of a Ryan Warsawski we were going to get after this game, but, you know, he just seemed very disappointed, right? Like, he was not going to come in with fire and brimstone. He's actually been very good about that over the course of his time as coach. He's not really come off with, you know, crazy post-game rants or anything like that. He's been pretty measured, and I think that he's probably just very, very disappointed because that team played well enough to earn a win for 30 minutes, beyond 30 minutes. They were up 5-1. They had a 4-goal lead. They had a 3-0 lead at this point. They had a 4-goal buffer beyond the halfway point. They had goals from Mikhail Granlund. Macklin Celebrini had a goal to open things up early and give San Jose a little bit of a buffer. So many times this year, we've said San Jose needs to give themselves a buffer because they need to be ready for the pushback. Well, they were not ready for the pushback in this game, even though they gave themselves a monumental buffer. They had a 4-goal lead. I don't know where you go from there to where a 4-goal lead is not enough, other than the stark reality that San Jose is just quote-unquote not there yet. And San Jose has to figure things out. You know, Ryan Warsawski, I think, is a good coach. Obviously, he's very early in his managerial career, but I think that we look at what he's able to do, the way he's able to motivate guys, the way he understands the talents. This is not on him. This is not on the coaching staff. This is not on the tactics. This is on the guys on the ice. And I'm not specifically blaming all of them because I think some guys had some good games, but you play together as a team. You have to play a collective level of hockey. I don't care if you're missing players like a Tyler Toffoli. I don't care if you're, you know, at the end of a road trip, the second day of a back-to-back, and you ran out of gas. Good teams in the NHL close out that game. Good teams in the NHL have what it takes to finish off that game and walk away with a win. The Sharks are not a good team. The Sharks are relatively on the same pace that they were in terms of wins a year ago. It just after this point, things got pretty bad and the trade deadline played a course, and, you know, they were also dealing with some other things. But, you know, this team has been better overall versus what they were a year ago. But in terms of wins and losses, they're relatively similar. You know, last year, 19 wins. Right now, they're on pace for 23. Is that much of a difference? I mean, yes, potentially, in terms of being the rock bottom versus not at rock bottom and taking a small step of improvement. But it's still not a product that is going to be consistent on the ice. San Jose still is building their way back. Now, with the cap space that they have, with the talents coming up that they have, I think they do have the ability to take that next step very, very shortly. But it still shows you in a game like last night just how far off they are, just how much work they have to do, just how much Mike Greer needs to add to this roster. Yes, guys like Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and William Eklund and Yaroslav Askarov are part of the future. I would assume that a Colin Graf is part of the future. These are the guys that I am looking at and thinking to myself, yep, they're a part of what is going to be a great time for San Jose. But that great time is not now. That is what San Jose is figuring out. And I can't, you know, beyond those guys, I don't really know who's going to continue to be here. I would hope that Fabian Zetterlund's going to continue to be here, but, you know, he's a restricted free agent. I would hope that, you know, Mikael Granlund is sticking around, at least in the short term, but, you know, the Sharks have to think about what they can get for him. So it's a very, very interesting timeline for San Jose. The deadline is looming. I'm curious to see what they get, but right now, Sharks need to correct things very quickly. Tomorrow, they face Nashville. We're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.